be kind. You've heard this how many times before? A phrase we hear a lot today, or maybe we should hear more of these days. This show is about kindness, about helping others in our schools, our neighborhoods, and communities. Each week, we'll be talking to new people who are helping out our communities, assisting with and running charities, mentoring youth, speaking out about health awareness, and so much more. We'll highlight issues that affect all of us on an individual, family, and community level. Welcome to Be Kind Always. We see people who serve every day, first responders or military, you know, and it takes a lot of sacrifice for those individuals, their families, and friends. Now, for many of these heroes, those sacrifices are injuries that require more than they can deal with on their own. So what happens now? How do they take care of their day-to-day? How do they cope? Where do they get help? Joining me today on the program is John Greenway. He is the chairman and founder of M2A, which stands for Mission to Alpha. John, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You're going to have to explain this to me and to our listeners here. M2A, where does this come from? Obviously, it's a thought in somebody's head, and now it is... all of this. Tell us how this started.
Sure. So we started working with the military actually back in 2008. Our organization was a little bit different back then. And as we progressed throughout the years, we decided right about the end of 2016 that we would expand our mission a little bit. And besides just serving military, we would serve first responders as well. And we ultimately decided on the name Mission 2 Alpha. For a couple of reasons. Mission to Alpha, Alpha meant back to the beginning, back to our basics, back to serving those people that are in need, which is really just, which is a very basic, simple concept if you really think about it. We don't want to complicate things. And then Alpha in the business that I'm in actually means performance above a benchmark. Mm-hmm. So for us, it was Mission to Alpha, getting back to the basics of taking care of those people that take care of us. But then also making sure that we perform above our expectations.
So what exactly is it that you do? I'm going to assume, and this is why I want I have you here, is we had an issue with at first that military just needed help after there was injury or, you know, what happens. So tell me how this works.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great question. You know, when you go back in time, if you go back to 2008, 2009, moving forward even into probably 2012, the majority of the assistance that was needed was for those that were coming back who at that particular time had been terribly injured.
Right.
You may recall all of the IEDs.
Yeah.
Burn trauma.
Right.
was a massive problem back then. Traumatic brain injury, amputations, I mean, you name it, right? These were extremely traumatic injuries. And so the needs back then were for all types of specialized equipment, adaptive sports equipment, all kinds of things like that. But as we've moved forward now, we don't have so much the plane loads of injured service people coming back. Now the battle really has just begun, which is problems that stem from their service, whether
right.
it be traumatic brain injury issues that they have discovered post-service,
mm-hmm.
Illnesses in some cases, all kinds of injuries that come up as a result of things that they have been through previously.
So it's not just equipment, it's also, you know, care. Like if you have brain injuries, is it more care as well, or is it just equipment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's sending people to special clinics
right.
Who can serve different types of needs. For example, traumatic brain injury issues. We have a young man that just went to a special clinic where they have certain therapies that they put them through, and it is amazing how many things that we've been able to discover over the years, over the course of this experience.
I can imagine.
That can help not just, you know, burn victims, but people with traumatic brain injury. This
right.
young man went from having almost no hope and us being extremely concerned about him to him emailing me and telling me that he had had his first dream in years that wasn't a nightmare.
That's amazing. So how does this, like, and you know, we think of this that, you know, a soldier gets injured and it's the VA. Is this beyond the VA? Is this more than that? Is this another offshoot, or what is it?
Sure. Good question. And I will say this, I'll back up a little bit. The VA kind of gets a bad rap.
Right.
The VA was never designed to have this many people placed into their care in such a short period of time.
Right.
So they've had to try to play catch up. And granted, there's been some terrible mistakes made and some bad things that have gone on. But
show me anybody that's perfect, right?
Yeah. I mean, the VA, for a lot of the things they do a very good job.
Right.
But just like the government, any other things, sometimes you have to have other organizations out there that are charitable nonprofit organizations who can kind of fill in the gaps, and that's what we do. We will do things for first responders and military personnel that the VA either can't do, won't do, but that are still necessary.
How did it open up to first responders? When did that happen?
I actually got the idea. We do these crazy endurance events that raise money, and one of the participants was a retired Marine,
mm-hmm.
and had done 18 years as a police officer. Well,
yeah,
he had injuries and things like that that came from his years of service. And so we began looking at this, and it's amazing to see the numbers of military personnel that leave a full-time career in the military and they go on to become a first responder. Oftentimes, the time period between when they leave and when they become a first responder, they don't recognize some of the issues that they have.
Right.
They become a first responder, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, chronic back issues, knee issues, can be a whole host of different things. And so we decided that we should probably be serving that community as well. And we also kind of had the thought process of, and I think this will make sense to most people, to us, if you wear a uniform and you go out and you serve the community, whether it be domestically or abroad, or
right.
whether you carry a rifle or whether you push a gurney out of an ambulance.
Or carry a fire hose.
In our eyes, you're a hero. And you deserve to be taken care of. If a need comes up, it can't be met by your employer or by the union or by the military or the VA or whoever.
Right. I think it's a phenomenal idea. And so it just took off from there.
Yeah, it really has. It's been an amazing journey, I'll tell you that. I've seen the absolute best in people, and I've seen terrible grief.
Yeah.
On the other side of that. So we've kind of experienced a little bit of everything.
So how does a family get exposed to you or get in touch with you? Say, they have a family member come back from serving, or they have a family member who's the fire chief, like you said, or the police chief, or just an officer in general. How do they get to know Mission to Alpha to help them with things they might need help with?
Sure, they can go to our website, which is mission2alpha.org. They can contact us through that site. We do a lot of work with other organizations as well. So oftentimes, organizations like ours will refer people.
Yeah, that's,
back and forth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. Does this is silly, but does the VA have a flyer on their counter? On the ward or whatever, where, I never heard of this. This might be something for me, or, something that's in the firehouse or the police house or whatever it might be, that where there's information.
The VA doesn't necessarily refer people to charities always.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that it does happen sometimes.
Right, right.
But the community of charities out now has been very good with being very public, being very accessible to most people. If you've been in the military, odds are you've been given resources where you can go in and say, hey, I'm having trouble with this problem in my life, or I'm having this other issue, and they can get those resources. For example, if you have been in special operations, there's a thing called SOCOM Care Coalition, which will kind of vet people, and when a Marine goes to them and they have issues, they will look at a list of charities and say, okay, this is one that's probably appropriate for you. We're going to help you get in touch with them, and by them doing that, that speeds up the process.
How are you? How are you funded? Do you have any government funding, or does it come right straight through the public?
We have no employees. We don't get any government funding.
Wow.
It's just a group of great Americans from all walks of life,
right,
that will spend months every year raising money.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the ways that you raise this money. I know that some things happened in the beginning part of the year before this COVID-19 came up, and there were things planned. Tell me about your fundraising efforts and how they work.
Sure. Each year, this started a long time ago. In 2008, I watched my nephew graduate from Marine Corps boot camp, and I knew that this young man at 18, who I had taught to ride a bike, taught to swim,
wow,
he was going to go to Iraq and fight at 18.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there watching the parade deck that day, and I thought, every kid out there is going to come back changed.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Yep.
Some of them will never, ever come back and see this place again.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought at the time, I have to do something. And so I'm a big cyclist. And I mean big cyclist, meaning I'm heavier than all the other ones.
But stop.
I decided what I would combine my passion of cycling,
right,
with my knowledge of how to raise money. And I decided back then that I would ride my bicycle from Mesa, Arizona to Camp Pendleton and raise money.
I know Camp Pendleton.
Yeah, so I didn't know how to give the money away. I found a Marine who's become an incredibly close friend of mine over the years who had been raising money for the family of a young man that he lost while on from an ambush.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of started it. So we started doing these endurance events. We've done the Mojave Death Race, which is 250 miles in 24 hours through the Mojave Desert.
I'm out.
Running and cycling.
I can't do that one. I'm out of that one.
Yeah, right? We've ridden from Scottsdale or Mesa to Camp Pendleton 6 times.
That's incredible.
Yeah, on bicycles. We've done we've climbed Mount San Jacinto and Palm Springs.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that is kind of out of the ordinary. We're all adrenaline junkies, and so the experience is amazing. But we also do, we do golf tournaments, and we do silent auctions and all the normal stuff too.
Tell me, I was going through the website and I see this, your three core beliefs, and they really stand out to me because I think they should be three core beliefs for any human being, let alone just for Mission to Alpha. Talk to me about those.
Yeah, when you set up an organization like this, right, you start to think about what does it really mean?
Right.
What are you trying to accomplish?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you going to be? And so we decided on those three core beliefs because we felt like it was simple yet powerful. In what they say to people about who we are and what we do.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at them and what they really mean, heroes are people who are admired for their courage,
yep,
right? Their outstanding achievements. People basically that are willing to give of themselves with no thought for their own, in some cases, safety or even their own life.
Right.
We believe in serving a cause greater than ourselves. And our commitment is, as an organization, is to serve our mission in the most effective manner possible, which means we have to deploy the resources efficiently. Oftentimes, we get grants done to people who need them in hours instead of days.
That's incredible.
And we have to be good stewards of our supporters' money, which I think is why we've continued to be successful, is because we are extremely transparent,
right,
about where we spend the money. When people give us resources, they get back information where they can see, touch, and feel where that money went.
Right,
and that's important. And so, we're very efficient that way. We don't have employees. We run this thing as inexpensively as we can, and we try to get every single dollar we can into the pocket of somebody so we can hopefully create a miracle or change a life.
Yeah, absolutely. How has it grown since you started it? You started in what year?
Started in 2008.
Okay, so from 2008, here we are in 2020. Obviously, it's a little early because 2020 just started, and we've got this roadblock in our way with COVID-19. But from 2008 to just say 2019, how has it grown as far as fundraising? Obviously, the first year, you have expectations, but by 2019, wow, right?
Yeah. The first year, we were giving the money to an organization that was based out of Pendleton, who's a phenomenal organization. Semper Fi Fund is just an amazing, amazing charity. And so we were raising money for them. And first year, we raised about $75,000. And we were so unknown back then that they didn't think that we had really done it, and they weren't really convinced that we were actually riding our bicycles there. So
we think this is happening. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I got an email saying, are you guys really doing this? And we really did, and we raised $75,000 that first year. And then
that's incredible
on,
for a first year.
Yeah. Well,
75 G in the first year.
Yeah. And after that, it went, I think the next year was 130, then about 250, then ultimately got into years where we were raising between 500,000 and 600,000 at a time.
Oh, now you're just bragging.
I know.
That's amazing. That's such great work for, you know, again, no government funding. It's all through, you know, people who believe in the cause, and keep contributing. Do you have, has your bicycle, people participate, has that grown year over year over year? Obviously because of the money raised, but have you seen more and more people coming out to ride?
We grew it up to 75 riders at one point in time going to California, but we kind of decided maybe that was a little too big, the logistics. And so we do limit the size of it now. There's all kinds of other events where people can participate as well, because not everybody is dumb enough to ride a bicycle all the way to Camp Pendleton.
No, absolutely not. But there are a lot of people who might be up for the challenge, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's incredible. I mean, one of the reasons why we do these kinds of events is because when you get a group of great people together, and what I tell people all the time is, this is not a bicycle ride. This is a fundraising campaign with a bicycle ride at the end.
Right.
And that's the way we view it. The bicycle ride is the reward, but it's incredibly challenging and incredibly difficult, which makes the bonding in that group unbelievable.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of why we do these. And I would back up, going back to those numbers that we've raised, I would tell you that it has very little to do with us, very little to do with me. It has everything to do with Americans are incredible people.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
I mean, they give and they give and they give. I've been on the road on our bicycle before, and I had a gentleman walk up and give me all the money that was in his pocket, and he said he had just been laid off, but that this was a greater cause. And I tried to give it back to him. He was a veteran. He would not accept it.
Right.
Those are the kinds of things that we see on a regular basis. And I think that's just what makes Americans different than a lot of people around the world.
How's that going to play forth here now as we're going through, like I said, our COVID-19 scare? How is all of this going to affect you here for 2020? Planning your missions, planning your, your fundraising and your activities. How are you dealing with it right now?
It's a good question. I've been talking to other people and other organizations, and some of them are suspending operations or they're shutting things down. Here's what I know: COVID-19, no COVID-19. All of the needs are still going to exist.
Yep.
And they're going to get greater, not smaller. And we don't have the ability or the choice of stopping this.
Right.
You have to, as the Marines say, adapt and overcome.
Mm-hmm.
You have to plan and execute. And so we will make sure that our mission is successful this year, whether we have COVID-19 or not.
Mm-hmm.
We'll make it happen, because there's people that are depending on us, and I'm just not about to let them down, and neither are any of the people on the team.
I love the attitude: adapt and overcome, plan and execute. You can use that in everyday life. Speaking of everyday, you have a thing called Everyday Hero. It's an award that you give out. Explain that.
Sure. Everyday Hero Award was an idea that we came up with, which I would encourage people to take advantage of. If you know a police officer, or you know a fireman, any first responder or military person that has gone above and beyond the call of duty, because these people rarely get thank yous.
I know.
Rarely. And so we want to recognize those people and make sure that they understand that, hey, you don't have to be injured to get attention. You don't have to be injured for somebody to say thank you for your service. Sometimes it's just doing a great human deed that needs to be recognized, and so we want to do that, and we want to make sure that we're saying thank you to all those people.
Right.
And so we do it through that award.
I think it's great. There's so many of them out there, and like you said, they don't always get recognized. It's, you know, it's easy when you see somebody at the airport and in uniform to say thank you for your service. It's another thing to actually recognize somebody and give them the due diligence that they deserve. But I know there's a lot of people who will go above and beyond that to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, people are just amazing. My youngest son went into the Air Force and went to boot camp and got back here about 7 or 8 months ago. And one of the things that was so impressive to me, because he was 18 years old when he went, and he actually celebrated his 19th birthday in boot camp. And
wow.
When he came home, just walking through the airport, people were so kind, and all ages,
yep.
You know, from little kids to elderly that would stop and say thank you to him. And in my opinion, we need to be doing that with firemen and with police officers as well.
Right.
And we aren't doing that enough. A lot of people do, but we could do it more.
Right.
And when you look at the first responders also, especially firemen, I believe it is the number over 70% of firemen at some point in time in their life will contract cancer.
Oh, you hear the stories now. I mean, they're out like crazy.
Our president of our board, or former president, is fighting that battle as we speak, and he was 28 years in the fire service.
Right.
You know, so that's an important thing as well.
Well, I think you have gotten onto something great here with Mission to Alpha, and I think it is amazing that you're pushing forward and helping people out who have served, whether, like you said, overseas in the military or are serving today in our communities as firemen, policemen, you know, first responders. I think it's amazing, and keep up the great work.
We will. And if I could throw one quick thing in.
Absolutely.
For people that are listening to this, not everybody can write a check, right?
Right.
And not everybody can get on a bike and ride to California or climb a mountain or do a Mojave death race, but everybody can give back. And so whether it's military or whoever, the one thing that I've found out in my own life is that the most rewarding thing I've ever done, hands down, is participate in a cause that is much, much greater than myself. And even if it's just time that you can give, that's fine.
Yeah.
There's so many great organizations just right here in the Valley that need volunteers. And you can go down for a couple hours a week or as much as you want. And if you don't have to necessarily write a check, you can give your time, you can give your prayers, you can give your support, and I promise you, it'll make a huge difference for other people, but it'll make a big difference for yourself. And I learned that personally.
Yeah, my dad used to say, "I've got more time than I've got money."
Right.
And
right.
And how true it is, right? And to give up some of your time to go and help and volunteer, and that's something that, hey, you can do with the family. I've taken the family out to go do things and volunteer and to give back. Going back to what you said, Americans are amazing people. And I think, you know, when we get into times of crisis like this, or if we come up against a mission like yours, people give. People give their time, give their money, and they participate. And I think it's an amazing thing.
I just can't even imagine my life having not been a part of this journey. It's just been amazing.
So if you want to get more information, you can go to mission2. So it's mission2alpha.org. And you also have a Facebook page, too. It's facebook.com/mission2alpha, which is awesome. John Greenway, chairman and founder of Mission to Alpha, thank you so much for your time. I've learned so much today, and I'm sure a lot of folks have too. And best of luck in 2020 and beyond.
Thank you, sir. I truly appreciate it. And God bless you and Semper Fidelis.
Yes, sir. Hey, four big words I took out of there was adapt, overcome, plan, and execute. Four major words that I think would apply to everybody in everyday life, not just COVID-19, not just something that's challenging, but something you can look forward to doing every day. That's going to wrap it up for today. If you're looking for any more information on the show, things you may have heard today, you want more info, go to our Facebook page. It's facebook.com/BeKindAlwaysPodcast. That's one big word right there. And thanks so much for making a difference in the world by being a better you. We're all working on the same project. My name is Charlie Weddle. Thanks so much to my special guest, Mr. John Greenway, the chairman and founder of M2A, Mission to Alpha, and of course to you. Thank you so much for your ears. Thanks for listening. And remember, be kind always. You can hear the Be Kind Always podcast on the radio with audio on demand on the radio station websites, the radio.com app, and wherever you get your podcast audio. Please click subscribe and notifications and give us some feedback so we can make a bigger difference. This has been the Be Kind Always podcast.
Dear people who haven't had a Big Mac, who saw millions of people enjoying something and said, no thanks, we're not giving up on you, because today is a new day.
A day for a sauce so special, they put it on there twice. A day for McDonald's most McDonald's burger. Because today's your day for a Big Mac.
Now available in three sizes, including the new Little Mac and Double Big Mac burgers. At participating McDonald's for a limited time and with McDelivery, available with Uber Eats and DoorDash, delivery prices may be higher.